Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We're back live with more of Anthony Herron and Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
It is the Chicago Bears schedule. It should be the schedule release show, but I'm going to say release party. It's Gabe Ramirez, Anthony Herron. And you know, on Saturday nights, usually me and this guy, we're sipping tequila. But on Sundays during the Bear season, we're pounding Miller Lights during the Brew Review. Joining us right now on the Circuit Resort and Casino Hotline, Circuit Resort Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book, is former Chicago Bear Corey Wooten. Corey, welcome to the show, man.
Hi, guys. Pleasure to be here with these two great guys, Big Ant and Chicago Gabe.
I can't. Dude, I already get enough crap for my name. You know, that I'm here's all right. Since we're going there, you're making me go there. You know, when I was at B96, you know, you're as a producer, and you know, when you're in pop radio, you're always producer fill in the blank. So I was producer Gabe, and I hated that name because I felt like they were pigeonholing me. I felt like I was so much more than a producer, and so I changed my email address, I changed my Twitter handle, and I did it so quickly, and I was like, well, you know what? I ride for Chicago so much, born and raised here, and I was like, Chicago Gabe. This is like 10 years ago, and here I am going into 670 The Score, and I feel like people hear it, and they just roll their eyes. Brian, the video producer, I was doing my show on BetQL the other day. He's like, oh, it's Chicago Gabe, and I'm like, dude, Dustin, the morning show producer for Bully and Hall, Chicago Gabe, walking through the building. I said, bro, not Corey Wooten's giving me crap, too, but you know what? I'm owning it, and I ain't changing it. So you got to deal with it.
That's how people know you, man. That's how people know you out there, right? Just like Big Ant. That's what they say, Big Ant.
All right, Dominican Corey.
Even though I'm bigger than him, you know.
Right. I call him Dominican Corey, even because he's a light skinned brother that looks Dominican with his little curly hair.
Oh, I can see that now. I hadn't even thought about that. That's a good one. That's true.
All right, well, yeah, that's a lot of people say, man.
I'm glad you're joining the show here, Corey. Bear schedule is just released. I know you had an opportunity to take a look at it. Why don't you first start off with telling me what week the Bears are going to get their first victory in?
Week one.
That's what I'm talking about.
Exactly. And it's two young quarterbacks, right? That have a lot to prove, right? Justin Fields really has to showcase himself this year. Trey Nance, he's got to showcase himself as well. You know, both were picked high, and it's kind of the battle of the young quarterbacks. So I like my odds with the Bears, you know. Eberflus and company playing strong defense against the young quarterback. You know, them really getting the running game going offensively. I like the Bears. And if you look at the schedule, honestly, I could see them going 4-0, possibly 5-0.
Stop it.
You look at it, right?
Packers in week two, bro.
Oh, shoot. I'm looking at it the wrong thing. Okay. besides the Packers, sorry.
Maybe 3-1? Okay. Yeah, we'll go 3-1.
Yeah, 3-1, possibly 4-1. Sorry. On my schedule, I'm looking at right now on my iPad, it has it slotted on both sides.
So
left to right, then left to right. Ah. Okay, so. But that yeah, the Packers won. They don't have Devontae Adams this year. So, you know.
They might be falling off. Might be falling off. We'll see.
You never know. I mean, obviously with Aaron Rodgers, right, they always give him a chance. But without that dynamic duo, I don't know, man. I don't know.
Big Ant, Corey sounds like more of a homer than I am right now.
Which is saying a lot, man. That's saying a lot. For the the guys on the roster themselves right now, man, where they're at in the midst of the offseason, a new regime coming in, you know what that's like, where you know you're just coming off of the rookie minicamp. Vets have already been out there on the field, kind of getting to know the coaches, getting to know each other a little bit in the midst of this newness. Do you get the sense that the players themselves are in tune with the schedule release for you? What was that like this time period like for you? Did you ever spend much time like looking at the schedule, kind of, you know, seeing like, oh, okay, that's when we're facing that quarterback. That's when I'm facing that offensive tackle I really don't like, that sort of thing.
Yeah, that's kind of when you pick out, you look through the schedule and you're like, okay, we got Aaron Rodgers and company week two. Okay, this is a big one. You circle that one. And then you look at some of these other ones, like you're talking about, going against this particular left tackle or this guard that gave you a little extra rib shot when you came inside. So you keep that stuff in mind. But then as a player, and you could attest to that, you look at the schedule and you're like, realistically, we could be, you know, 4-1 or 5-1, you know, throughout these stretch of games. And then, oh, okay, we could go on a little run right here. Because if you look at their schedule, I mean – you know, the first six games of the season, it's really not too bad, I don't think, you know, with the exception of the Packers that they struggled against. You look at the Texans, you look at the Giants, the Vikings, the team, you know, we played well against, you know, Washington, you know, kind of they've been struggling the past couple of years. And then the Patriots, sometimes, you know, Mac Jones last year was hit or miss at times. So, you know, I think those first, you know, couple games, you know, I could see going in favor of the Bears, especially if we're going to bring back that monsters to the midway mentality, you know, really playing strong defense and Justin Fields take the next step and then we get that running game going. I can see it playing out pretty favorably. What do you guys feel about that?
Listen, you know I'm 17-0 every day you ask me that question. So this former Bear Corey Wooten joining us right here on 670 The Score. I'm Gabe Ramirez. He's Anthony Herron. And you just touched on it a second ago. And I'm genuinely curious from both of you guys, but Corey, I'll have you answer it first. When you do get a new coach, what is that like for a player that's been on the team already when that guy comes? Like, I can't even imagine what that's like for a player.
So it was tough when I was playing for the Bears, right? Lovey was our coach my first 3 years. Then he got fired after the year we went 10-6, and then we had Tressman. And there was like a bad taste in people's mouth because everyone loved Lovey. He was a player's coach. And I told you this, Gabe, like grown men crying about him being let go. And I think people really respected him. But in this case, you know, I really think, you know, people, Matt Nagy wore out his welcome in the locker room. And I think people are excited for the new regime. I thought Matt Nagy did a great job when he first came in, his first year, you know, leading the Bears to the playoffs, the great season they had. But after that first year, you know, he was kind of losing that locker room with his stubbornness to not give up offensive play calling. And, you know, you start hearing stories about him and Allen Robinson and company. So I think he really wore out his welcome. And I think people are excited, you know, for getting back to that defensive mind. We always talked about the Bears have always been best when they have that defensive-minded team. And obviously, if we can get the offense rolling and everything rolling on all cylinders, but I think the guys are really excited to play under Eberflus. You know, they need that discipline. And, you know, we talked about this. What they really struggled with was the discipline things, you know, stopping the run, penalties, things of that nature. And Eberflus really preaches that. So I'm looking forward to the season, to be honest with you.
And I love the point that Corey makes there, because a lot of what he talks about is about the culture of the locker room, is about the belief the players have in the leadership in place. And it's hard for that not to erode. Even if a bunch of the guys really still liked Matt Nagy as a dude, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're still preparing on a daily basis with that same grind, or that when you take the field, you have the same belief that you maybe once had, because the results just weren't there on the field. And so it does erode a lot of those intangibles there. And I would imagine it's a big part of why Ryan Poles has gone about reshaping the roster to the extent that he has. Yeah, you got to rebuild. And so that's a big part of it too. You got to clear cap space. You got to get expensive guys out or not bring expensive guys back. But then also you're giving Matt Eberflus an opportunity for his players to put his imprint on the locker room and not have, like I went through in Detroit, we went from Marty Morningweg to Steve Mariucci. And, you know, in the Marty Morningweg experiment, man, you had a lot of veterans who had been there with a previous regime who just narrowly missed the playoffs in 2000, the year before my rookie year. And then in 01, it's a whole lot of vets like, man, we really didn't need this whole like big changeover that we went through. But then they did it anyway. They brought in Mortenweg, brought in Matt Millen. But a lot of those veterans were still there. And it just there just wasn't a good chemistry in the team. Folks never got on board with Marty, with good reason, because Marty Mortenweg wasn't a quality head coach. But then by the time they brought in Mooch a couple of years later, they began to reshape the roster a little bit more. There was at least an opportunity for that regime, for the Steve Mariucci regime, to kind of put his imprint on the locker room. And I think that matters a lot when you bring in a new regime. If there was a bad taste in the mouth of a lot of the veterans that were previously there, then it's hard to say, hey, new guy, come in and just put this all in your image. It's not impossible, and it's happened, but it does make the job of the new coach that much more difficult. So I think that factors into the way they reshaped all of it, to the question you asked there, Gabe.
Yeah, I mean, because, again, when you're bringing somebody in like that, you say to yourself, what is my mindset going to be going in the season? I got this new guy. Am I trying to impress him? Am I working on a contract? Am I, you know, these are the things that I feel like people aren't talking about in terms of the quality of play you're going to get from this Chicago Bear team. A lot of these people are playing for the following season. A lot of these people are trying to prove that, you know, maybe it was the coaching staff or it was those things. And so it's going to be interesting, you know, like I mentioned, to see how these guys react to that. Specifically, Justin Fields. Corey, when you look at Fields, we talked in depth about him last season, watching what he did for the Chicago Bears team with what he was given.
Yep.
You look at this season, how do you feel he is going to, like, what, to tell me, convince me why you feel like Justin Fields is going to be better this season and what is going to contribute to that?
Because I feel like this under this new staff, I'm praying that they really focus on the run game early on, you know, to kind of take the pressure off them. Because you look at some of the games last year, we ran the ball extremely well, but at times we abandoned the run, which I'm, you know, when games are still close, you know, a one score, two score game, and then we got really pass happy early on in the game, and I kind of didn't understand that. And you're talking about getting a young quarterback's confidence up. How do you do that? The running game. So I'm hoping we get that running game going. Then we get stuff he's comfortable with, some of those play actions, some of those sprint outs, some of those boots, really get him on the move where he feels comfortable, and then kind of open up that passing package. So that's what I'm hoping. We play good defense. We get the running game going. And then once he gets that confidence up, then we can really stretch the ball down the field. And that's where we're going to see the true growth from Justin Fields.
Three primetime games this year for the Bears, all of them within the first 7 weeks of the season, Corey. You famously took out one of the all-time greats, Brett Favre, in primetime on national television, said, get up out of here. We don't want you in this division anymore. Damn near cut the man in half. So for you, what kind of charge, even though the Bears are only going to have three of those and they're all going to be fairly early, but you know, as a player, we were talking about, you know, whether or not the guys may be checking that schedule out. What kind of charge did you get when you would evaluate that schedule before the season began and see when those national TV opportunities were going to come?
Exactly, especially with the first one against the Packers. I mean, you know, the rivalry week, and that's huge. You know, when you get to announce your college team or high school or whatever you want to, Hard Knocks University, whatever you want to say when you're, you know, announcing your name on there, it's a huge stage. So I think that's going to tell us a lot about these the Bears this season, especially with that Packers game. And I think it's going to be critical to see these first two games for me. And I think that's going to tell you a lot about what type of coach Eberflus is and what kind of influence he has on the players. I always bring this back to the example when we had one of the top five defenses in the league in 2012 under Lovie Smith. We basically kept the whole defense the same with the exception of Brian Urlacher. Trestman comes in the next year with Mel Tucker, and we go from a top five defense to dead last in every category, right? That's telling you everything you need to know. Like, everything was different, and I don't think people were fired up the same way that they were under Lovie Smith, Rod Marinelli, as they were with Trestman and Mel Tucker. And that's no knock on them. I'm just saying different coaches, you know, do different things, and I think people really gravitate to a guy like Lovie Smith and company. And what I've heard about Eberflus is he's that same Rod Marinelli type, that Lovie Smith type, that people really rally around, that he's a player's coach. So I think these first 2 weeks are going to tell us a lot about this team and Matt Eberflus.
Corey Wooten, former Chicago Bear, joining us right here on 670 The Score. I'm Gabe Ramirez. He's Anthony Herron. Corey, we noticed last season David Montgomery really stepped up as a vocal leader for the Chicago Bears. And obviously with Mack being gone, Akeem not here as well, who's someone outside of Roquan Smith? I mean, who's a quiet guy in itself, but do you, or maybe you think it's him. Who do you feel like can be that vocal leader on the defensive side of the ball?
Robert Quinn, your man, Puerto Rican Bobby. Right? I mean, he had one of the best seasons he had in his career towards the end of his career. I think that's just telling you at such a high level, and Anthony can attest to this, you know, playing the defensive line. As you get older, it's hard for these guys to still maintain their quickness, their speed, their effort. That's the key thing. You know, usually when guys get later in their career, their effort drops. His effort went through the roof. And you see some, the second, the third moves, and then chasing the quarterback down from the blind side, going 20 yards to get a sack. Like, that was unbelievable to see. And see him playing the run, because he was always known as one of those pass rushers that kind of gets up the field like Dwight Freeney, doesn't play the run well. But really seeing him step up after a really bad year 2 years ago, you know, really come into his own and have 19 sacks was unbelievable. So Robert Quinn, that's the leader right there.
Yeah, I like where your head's at with that, man. I'm just wondering, we've talked a lot about the lack of playmakers that seemingly are there on the outside at receiver, and they continue to bring more bodies in, but none of them really household names, anybody that you would anticipate will definitively be the Bears' number one as the season approaches. How much concern do you have for how that affects the continued development of Justin Fields?
Yeah, I definitely have a concern. You know, Darnell Mooney has made tremendous strides. I don't know if he's ready for that number one role yet. We brought Byron Pringle in. I would like them to get a free agent guy, you know, maybe Julio Jones, you know, on a prove it year, prove it deal. He's a guy that's still a specimen, still has everything it takes, and who knows? You know, I mean, I think he has everything it takes to be a number one receiver. It was about him staying healthy. So, you know, giving him an incentive-laden deal and keep him moving.
I like that. I think Ant and I have been talking about the veteran wide receivers that are still out there, people that can help you be competitive or just secure hands for Justin Fields, because that's what you want. That's why he threw it to Darnell Mooney so often. He just created space, and it wasn't, this is my favorite receiver. It's, this is the guy I can throw it to, and he's not going to drop it. Cole Kmet, you know, it's just, I mean, that's being real, right? Like, that's what you want. I mean, obviously, the wide receiver group, people have been saying that. We had Hub Arkishon saying that, you know, he would have, that's the group that might be the worst. What do you feel could be the worst group outside of receivers, or excuse me, Corey? What do you think is the position group that could use the most help outside of receivers? We already heard that.
Offensive line, right? Left tackle position. You know, I think shoring up that line, that's something that's concerned for me. You know, you talk about a young quarterback and giving him the confidence. You know, I thought for the most part, Jason Peters did a pretty good job last year, but at times – he kind of looked a little bit lost, or he was towards the end of his career, which, you know, I mean, he had a great career and nothing against him, but he's getting up there in age. So securing that left tackle spot for me, and that's something that they didn't really address. You know, I know we have a couple, you know, tackles that we drafted and guards here and there in the center, but these are kind of more project guys. You know, it's not a, you know, come in day one and you know, be able to play that left tackle position. I was kind of bummed. Because I was really eyeing the guy from Central Michigan, Bernard Raimann, the left tackle that came out of there. And we could have potentially got him in the third round and not had to trade up or anything. And he was still there. And I think he probably will be a starter for the Colts potentially. So that's something that I feel like we missed the ball on.
Yeah, it would have been nice to be able to maybe grab one more a little bit early. Got a whole lot of projects there later on in the draft. So
exactly.
We're going to watch closely, see how that development works out on the O-line. We know you'll be watching it as closely and as well as anybody, Corey. Really appreciate you joining us tonight, man.
Oh, thank you guys for having me. Appreciate you guys.
Of course, Corey. We'll talk to you soon. It's Corey Wooten, former Bear, joining us right here on 670 The Score. I'm Gabe Ramirez. He's Anthony Herron. And coming up right after this, you know, the schedule has been released. And I felt like we could have a little bit of fun with it. And I think people don't realize how fun you are. Me being able to sit next to you on Bears Unleashed for the entire season, I know what you're like off air. I know you're a blast. So I know you're going to. So I came up with this thing. It's called Heron. How did it happen? I am going to throw a fictitious Bears season at you and what their record would be. And then I want you to think in your brain, the big Applehead brain, and say to yourself, this is how that would happen. All right? So, Heron, how did it happen? I throw out some scenarios. Ant gives us the answers. We'll do that right after this on 670 The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
How does that happen, Tony?
Sounds like my wife again, just hitting me with the how does that happen, Gabe? I don't know sometimes. It's Gabe Ramirez, Anthony Heron, here on the Chicago Bears schedule release show. And we're about to have a little fun right now. You know, because you can look at the schedule and you can come up with countless amounts of predictions for how the Chicago Bears will end the season record-wise. And I've come up with three potential final records. Mm-hmm. And you have no idea what these are, and I think this is great. But if I tell you the record, you should be able to tell me how it happened. So that's why we have Heron. How did it happen? All right. So your first record is the Bears going 8-9. A little bit better result than last season. 8-9, still below 500. But Heron, how did it happen?
How do you think that happened?
Well, we're going to have to get to the bottom of it.
So this one is, I think, pretty easy, because if the Bears end up going 8-9 on the season, it means that they were competitive but not dominant within the division. You know, they're going to get a few divisional wins. And right now, I think you could certainly make the case the Bears' personnel, their roster top to bottom, isn't amongst the best in the division. But how do they end up going 8-9 this season? I see some scenarios playing out leading 8-9 where they get off to a hot start. We were just talking with Corey Wooten about, hey, maybe they start off 3-1. You know, Corey's a little confused. He said, hey, maybe they go like 5-0. You know, they take a closer look at the schedule, the way it shakes up. You know, like, hey, maybe 3-1, 4-1, something along those lines. But then maybe things taper off. Where things could potentially taper off, if we see a scenario where Like, you know, Darnell Mooney for some reason decides that he's going to take some time away from the team as their number one and leading receiver because he's feeling like super charitable and he wants to like go back to Tulane and spend some time teaching classes. So Darnell Mooney is going to leave the Bears for several weeks to go be a professor back at Tulane because he's a highly intelligent young man. And while he's doing that, he's going to step away from the Bears for a few weeks. An already struggling passing attack will be negated that much more without Darnell Mooney on the field. So as opposed to having to play some of these other receivers that they haven't built any faith and rapport in yet, the Bears are just going to have like five running backs on the field. So that's going to make some of those games in the thick of the schedule, the meaty part of the schedule, really difficult for them to win because there's literally going to be one wide receiver dressed, and it's all going to be running backs and tight ends beyond that. But then Darnell Mooney will return from his professorial duties at Tulane, and the Bears are going to finish strong down the last month and a half or so.
I got to be honest. I'm just glad you didn't say Justin Fields got hurt, and that's why the Bears went.
Not for 8-9. Not for
8-9. Okay, good. I like that. All right, Anthony Herron, how did it happen? Scenario number two, the Bears end the season 3-14. Herron.
God, no.
No. Herron, how did it happen?
All right, so if they only win three games this year, which frankly I would guess. Now, we didn't have any of the callers to tonight's show, which I was really surprised by. These
we're
supposedly pessimistic callers.
Yeah, no. We're playoff bound based on them.
I mean, 7 wins, 9 wins, 10 wins. I'm surprised we didn't get somebody predicted an undefeated schedule then. They probably already heard you doing
That's
it.
That's my job.
So they decided they weren't gonna do that. But if the Bears somehow only win three games this season, I would imagine that part of what that would end up leading to is that if Bears quarterback Justin Fields, now I don't foresee an injury. I'm not going to predict an injury that leads to three wins. But what would happen in that scenario is if Justin Fields, in all this work that he's putting in over the offseason, we've seen him out there throwing with Darnell Mooney. We know Velus Jones is all excited about having his locker next to Justin Fields. All the work that he's putting in preparing. If for some reason Justin Fields in this three-win scenario, there's a psychic that gets involved in Justin Fields' preparation. And so he goes into each game relying on a Dionne Warwick-style psychic to tell him what the true offensive game plan should be. And so once Justin Fields decides he is no longer going to listen to Luke Getsy and what the game plan should be for the Bears offense, and he's going to have Miss Cleo out here trying to tell him what he needs to be doing at quarterback for the Bears, it's going to be a struggle, I think, is the most accurate way I can put it, by having a psychic involved with the offensive game plan and that being where Justin Fields is taking things and trying to improve as a quarterback, as opposed to really building that bond with his new OC and building that trust in how the Bears are going to operate offensively. That would be a scenario, I think, that could lead to a three-win season.
Gabe Ramirez, Anthony Herron. We're in the middle of Herron, how did it happen, where I give Anthony some potential outcomes for the upcoming season. He lets us know how it happened. 3-14, I just hope that's not a scenario where, because it's very possible, where maybe the defense is underperforming, not necessarily reaching the status that we felt they could with the new rookies. Let's say the rookies don't live up to their hype and, you know, the defense regresses a little bit from last season. And, you know, we lose a lot of these close games instead of making them competitive or having Justin Fields give us an opportunity to win. 3-14, though, man, if we end up 3-4, some Bears fans would be happy because of the draft picks we would get, Ant. But me personally, 3-14, you and I, we cover the Bears during the season. So that makes our job that much tough. It's going to be tough.
Yeah, man.
I don't know how much positivity I can pull out of that one.
I mean, 6 wins. It was rough getting through a lot of those last year. 3 wins.
Especially because of the losing streaks. I think that was the most difficult. It wasn't as though the 6 wins were sprinkled throughout the season. You went on some heavy losing streaks that really just made you feel like you were down in the dumps. I think that's what happened.
Even the wins were kind of like the win against the Lions and on Thanksgiving was just so blah.
You felt and you got to go on and you're like, yeah, we suck, but that game was a good one. Right, guys? Right? Justin Fields. You always go back to Justin Fields and whatever it looked like. All right. I got one last scenario for you.
All right.
Herron, Ant Herron, how did it happen? Bears going 12-5.
Ooh.
Herron, how did it happen?
Okay. 12-5.
Merciful crap.
That would be that'd be reason for folks to get excited, man. I think the 3-win scenario at the moment, I would say that's definitely on the table. 12 wins, I'm not completely sure that's on the table this year, but in this for the purposes of this exercise here, a 12-win Bears squad this year. So let's say, because we know Green Bay quarterback Aaron Rodgers has a whole lot of other interests in life right now, man. You know, whether it's the variety of relationships that have been out there for him, getting engaged and unengaged, whether it's him being a game show host, whether it's him being, you know, supposed part-time owner of the Bears and owner of the Milwaukee Bucks, you name it. It's a lot out there on Aaron Rodgers' plate these days. Maybe Aaron Rodgers at some point here decides to try his hand at acting as well. Aaron Rodgers decides to step away, and he's going to perform in, like, the fourth spinoff of Power or something like that.
Wow, Tommy's
and
boy.
So, okay. Yeah, and so Aaron Rodgers is going to do that. He steps away. So if you end up in a scenario where Jordan Love is starting for the Packers, you can chalk up 2 wins right there in Green Bay, and that adds to – the confidence, that culture we were talking about a few minutes ago with Corey Wooten. Now the Bears are rolling. Now the Bears got some momentum going. Now the division seems up for grabs, because you were waiting and wondering over the offseason whether or not if Aaron Rodgers was going to end up somewhere else, or if Green Bay was going to get rid of him before they paid him $500 million or whatever they guaranteed him. Instead of doing that, Aaron Rodgers says, you know what, I'm going to take this money. I know what Tom Brady got guaranteed to him by Fox Sports. You know what? I don't want to work in sports broadcasting. I'm going to stop balling right now and go into acting. That's what Aaron Rodgers is going to do. And if that happens, not only will those 2 wins against Green Bay be on the ledger, but then also that's going to build the momentum the Bears would need to build up a lot of wins against some of these other folks too. So that's what I'm counting.
I like it.
12-win Bears squad is a Bears squad that had Aaron Rodgers go into acting as opposed to quarterback.
Shailene Woodley maybe rubbed off on Aaron a little bit. He started seeing her checks come in, and he was like, what am I doing right here? His agent got him. I like that. I think if the Bears come up with 12 victories, I'm going to chalk it up to injuries. You know, maybe, you know, Josh Allen
isn't
playing.
That might be more realistic.
Yeah, Josh Allen isn't playing on the 24th. You said, Aaron Rodgers goes to act. That could be the other scenario, which, okay, obviously it's super far-fetched for the Bears to go 12-5. I, even as the Bears optimist, think that way. But it could happen if you feel like Justin Fields, Dan Orlovsky said it, if the Bears offense clicks on any level, you're going to have to consider him for MVP candidate at that point. And if, let's say he is, listen, the crux of the Bears has been putting up points for the last couple of seasons. Mm-hmm. If somehow, some way, Justin Fields can give us over 18 points a game and we become competitive, because our defense, it's like Hub said, everything has to go right in these scenarios. But if our defense does play well and keep us in these games, and Justin can have some fourth quarter magic. Let's be honest, I thought the Patriots were overrated last year because of their schedule. It could be a situation like that where the Bears, with the schedule that they have, find themselves on the side of victory more often than not. And, you know, maybe we do. Okay, I heard the high-pitched voice. That means it's a lie.
You're trying to talk yourself into it, which I respect.
Whenever you get the high-pitched voice, you just know that. Like,
I'll say this, guys. In my Madden franchise, my second year, which is going to be this year in real life, Justin Fields won the MVP. So, and won the Super Bowl.
Ryan Poles, if you have an opening in the front office, Studs just managed a Super Bowl team right now. So you might want to.
I've actually done 3 in a row now.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, yeah.
I mean, no big deal.
Listen, put it on your resume. It's
actually, I'm not even that proud of the Super Bowls. I always win the Super Bowl.
Okay.
What I'm really proud of is after I extended Justin Fields in the fourth year, after I extended him, I still have $100 million in cap space for the next year. That's how well I've managed the team.
It's that econ degree coming in to play for Adam Stasinski.
Who's the number one receiver on this squad at the moment?
Allen Robinson.
Oh, so you resigned.
Darnell Mooney's still there. Oh, I extended Allen Robinson in the first season.
You were smart. 2020.
Okay. You have no idea how hard it was to fill the roster after I extended Allen Robinson. It was difficult. I had to draft very well.
Ant Heron's still playing defensive line for the Bears at that point because he doesn't have much.
Thought about calling left. Him. I had zero depth.
It's Gabe Ramirez, Anthony Heron here on 670 The Score. Ant, we got a text on the text line. I told you to try to avoid it, but he did put up a good one. He said, hey, man, what's the schedule? And I said, man, damn, we went through this whole show so far. We haven't even gone down the list. I'm going to do it quickly before we go to break. Week one, we open against the San Francisco 49ers on Fox Television September 11th. Right after that, next couple of games, Packers, Texans, Giants, Vikings up in Minnesota. Then Thursday Night Football, Amazon Prime. That's their new thing. Bears going up against the Washington Commanders. October 24th, Bears take on the Patriots up in New England. And then October 30th, this is the game I'm going to with my family. If you're going to be road tripping this year, you should be going to Dallas. Whenever you have an opportunity to go check out Jerry's World and they're taking on the Chicago Bears, got to check that out October 30th. And it's Halloween weekend. Can't beat that. November kicks off with the Dolphins, Lions, Falcons. And then we wrap up November by heading out to New York and taking on the Jets. December, we got the Packers. And then, of course, the latest bye I've ever seen, Ant, happening December 11th in week 14. That's pretty crazy. I don't know. I don't feel like I've seen that before. And then week 15 through 18, we got the Eagles, Bills, Lions, and then we wrap up the season at home against the Minnesota Vikings. Sounds like a 12-5 team to me, guys. I don't know about you.
That's a lot of ball to be played before you finally get your first bye. Three national TV games in primetime for the Bears on the schedule as it sits right now. Now, who knows? You know, they're all within the first 7 weeks of the schedule, like we mentioned earlier in the show. But if things are going well, if they are on some kind of 12-win trajectory, probably not. But if that's happening, then maybe even get flexed into some more of these national TV games in prime time as well. But you know, we have seen a couple of examples in the not-too-distant past. It's been a couple of years where the Bears have only had two primetime games. But usually, you're trying to get that Chicago market on the air. Obviously, you do have a young, noteworthy quarterback in Justin Fields also that they don't mind getting on TV as well. So you got something like the Bears-Packers rivalry that's always going to be there early in the season because you want to make sure you get those in before things kind of taper off a little bit. Maybe the Bears are out of the mix. So that's part of why they kind of front load a lot of the national TV opportunities in a season like this where it's not anticipated the Bears, you know, may not end up being that good.
Two words for you, Ant. Flex game. I think the Bears might end up in that little situation in my dreams.
We'll
there. Fortunately for us here at 670 The Score, we had the schedule in advance thanks to Danny Parkins. But that wasn't the only thing he was doing today. He was at Harry Carey's celebrating the fine gentleman himself. And he had an opportunity to talk to Steve Stone, who gave a phenomenal story regarding Mr. Harry Carey himself. We'll play that for you and wrap up the Chicago Bears schedule release show. I'm Gabe Ramirez. He's Anthony Herron. This is 670 The Score.
Buying you a beer, drinking a beer with them.
Yeah. We're back live with more of Anthony Herron and Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
You know, Ant, a popular question people ask all the time is, if you could have a beer with anyone, dead or alive, who would it be? And if you ask me, my abuelo, my grandfather, he was a Bud man. So to me, they're two people that are synonymous with Bud. It's my grandfather, and then it's Harry Carey. Very high on that list. Yeah. Uh-huh, and I can sense that Harry and I, we love alcohol the same kind of way. You know, that doesn't mean you should check in on me. That just means that.
I was going to say, what, in large quantities? Or what exactly does that mean?
Daily, whatever. Uh-huh. Maybe during the show. I don't know.
Right.
But so I'd have no idea what that would be like. But Steve Stone had a hell of a story describing just that. He joined Parkins and Spiegel today on the annual toast to Harry Carey. And let's hear Steve recount his drinking buddy, Harry Carey, and what that was like.
We used to go out after a ball game. And, you know, it would be very late. And Harry would go to this place. He had a favorite Italian restaurant in Pittsburgh. And they kept everybody there for him. Well, they kept the manager. They kept the bartender, certainly. And they kept the cook. And so we went in, it was 11:30, I'll give you a typical evening, and then tell you another story related to this. But we went in, and by that point, we had a pretty good regimen. And that was, I had my appetizer.
Uh-huh.
Harry had his first martini. I had then my salad. Harry had his second martini. I had my entree. Harry had his third martini.
Hmm.
I had my dessert. Harry had his fourth martini. And then Harry would order. I would be done eating, but Harry would order. He'd get linguine with clam sauce, something along those lines. Now it's 1 o'clock in the morning. Now the chef is falling asleep. He wants to go home. Harry's just having the entree. But he would never allow the menus to come to the table until he had four martinis. And then with dinner, he would usually have Budweisers. Occasionally, he would have wine, but this was with his dinner. After dinner, he'd have three Grand Marniers. And then he would drop me off at home. It was now 2 o'clock or so in the morning, and then he would go out for some serious drink. So we came to that accommodation.
That was the rhythm.
But I couldn't keep up with him. Nobody really could. George Brett was a fairly young guy, and Harry said, you know, you like to play golf? Yeah. Why don't you come in the off season and visit me in Palm Springs because I live on the Canyon Country Club, the fifth hole. And George said, that would be great. And George went down. He said, you play golf all day, and we'll go out at night. And so he was going to be, he had booked a week there. After 2 days, George Brett, a very young, virile athlete, went back to Kansas City. And somebody asked him, what happened? You only lasted 2 days. He goes, I feared for my life. So, no, you couldn't keep up with Harry. He was legendary away from the broadcast booth. But in the broadcast booth, he was very professional.
Oh, my God. I have a feeling that I've been on the Harry Carey side of a story a time or two with my bud. I had to. Aunt, you and I have never gone out for a drink, bro. What's up with that?
I mean, not yet. Not yet. That is that's definitely something we got to rectify at some point in the not too distant future. Here, we're going to make that happen. But I've had some broadcast partners over the years, and the variety of networks I've called games for, the variety of travels that I've had here domestically for different purposes in the sports media world. I've had a couple folks I've worked with, man, who could not wait to get it in, whether it was the night before game or sometimes you got a later game in prime time. I work with some folks who don't mind getting it in during the day before we head to a stadium. I've never been a strong day drinker myself. I just get tired.
Okay.
You know, I start to just feel like, you know what, it's time to go to bed. So if I'm going to actually have to like be awake and alert and be on camera later on, just trying to do anything like that beforehand, never has suited me very well. But I've definitely had a few of those partners in years past that don't mind getting it in. So I've made very few efforts to truly hang with folks who can get it in like Harry can. But I can understand where Steve Stone is coming from, man, because when you're with a legend like that and he's doing his thing, it's just nice to be in that rarefied air sometimes.
And I feel like every time I see you on Twitter or on TV, you're calling a number of different games, a number of different things. I mean, you're just all over the place. So like you said, you have worked with a ton of people. Has anyone ever been drunk on the air? I don't want to say drunk, but just, you know, feeling good, as I would like to call it.
I mean, not somebody I've actually been calling a game with, no, but, you know, when you're in a stadium or in those settings, you know, you can certainly be around like a whole lot of folks who in fans at sporting events. You certainly see plenty of that, man.
Sure.
And even just being at Wrigley Field, the last college football game, at least the last regular season college game that I called last fall. I think I was telling you and Sharky about it, you know, as we were kind of coming down the stretch of our Bears Unleashed schedule, where I had the Northwestern versus Purdue game that was at Wrigley this year, or this last college football season. And just having that opportunity, man, to go and hang out at Wrigley, to get to call a football game there for, you know, what they term as the Wildcat Classic, and couldn't help but just sort of get swept up in the history of what that broadcast booth meant, in the, you know, seeing the Harry Carey logo out there like we all see if we go out to Wrigley, but to actually be in the booth, you know, right there where the logo is at, and to think about the fact that Harry Carey occupied that space, Steve Stone occupied that space, so many greats over the years, and to get to call a game there, you know, and have that be synonymous with Harry Carey. I did resist the urge to just belt out and start singing the seventh inning stretch, but it crossed my mind, man. But I just figured, you know, it's a college football game, it's Big Ten Network.
Right.
Some folks would get the bit, some folks wouldn't, so I decided not to.
Exactly.
And it was a competitive game between Purdue and Northwestern, so I held back. I decided not to, but who knows, man, if I get that opportunity again, maybe next
time. Don't pass it up.
I'll go ahead and do it. Are you one? So when Take Me Out to the Ball Game happens at a ballpark, when you go to a game, regardless of the stadium is going on,
sure,
are you one who belts it out loud and sings it? Are you kind of under your breath? You just kind of rocking back and forth, hit style? What's your participation level?
I'm a double major, econ and behavioral communication, so I'm always watching people. So during the seventh inning stretch, I am the person that's looking around.
Okay.
And I want to see. Okay. If I'm at Wrigley, is anyone saying root for the Sox? If I'm at Comiskey, is anyone saying root for the Cubbies? You know that. So I'm more of an observant guy. Probably by the seventh inning, let's be honest, I'm trashed by that point anyway.
See, yeah, I was going to say my participation in that is directly related to how many drinks I've had.
Right, exactly. Okay. Right, exactly. Okay. And Adam Stadzinski, him and I, we play on the same softball team together, and not once was I able to go out and drink with you, which I'm disappointed in. But
anytime, man, I was always willing. Nobody ever wanted to go out.
Okay, but here's the thing, Adam. What you did see me do, though, was drink during the game.
Oh, I did.
Yeah.
Every time.
I would pound beers during. I had a whole section of my homies that were doing it.
My specialty was Gatorade and vodka.
Ooh, you're dangerous going out.
Got to hydrate. Got to hydrate and I get my buzz.
I was just doing my Coors Light, a.k.a. my water. That was my jam. Now, see, the thing is this, Ant. You know, I worked B96 14 years over there. So you can show up to you're doing the morning show over there. You know how many times I showed up to the morning show trashed? Because I was going out the night before, young Gabe Ramirez having but
young
the thing
Gabriel,
is, over there,
no sleep.
It's a bit. You show up to your job on pop radio, it's a bit that you're trashed and you can, identify with other people. Here on 670 The Score, you might get looked at a certain type of way. Or maybe I'll find out one day.
I think it's worth it, man. Yeah, I think it's worth it. Go ahead and give it a roll, See what happens. Call in to Mully and Haw.
Or,
man, been to sleep all night.
Or you come into the studio and we get down while we're here at the station, all right?
Special event out of that.
Let's go ahead and thank our guests for today. Of course, Habarkish, Danny Parkins, the predictor, and Corey Wooten for joining us today. We appreciate all of you guys. Of course, got to thank our producer extraordinaire, Adam Staszynski. Don't forget, BetMGM is on right after this, BetMGM tonight. And of course, for Gabe Ramirez, Anthony Herron, I will see you tomorrow, 6 p.m. right here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
That's it. You people have stood in my way long enough. I'm going to Clone College.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.